Got it? Got it? My mic not on?
Doesn't sound like you got it.
Do I have it? How come I can't hear it? Oh, there we go.
Can't wait for the show to start.
Why don't you get back out of here and start all over again? Carolyn, do me a favor. Can you start over? We'll just fix this in post.
No, I'm really enjoying myself.
No. We're going to fix this so it doesn't. Because luckily, we're not doing this live. You ready? Let's start at the top again. Pick it up. Here we go.
Got it. Here we go. Let's get Tommy in here and get started with the show. All right. Seamless. Never making a mistake. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Someone was reading the bathroom chronicles.
Happy birthday, dear Jacob, and my mother, Bernice, who's 88 today as well, and that's the only reason why I'm bringing it up to our attention. Happy birthday to Jacob and Bernice.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, how old is Jacob?
Jacob is, my mom is 88 and Jacob is 8.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Thank goodness they put those little signs up next to the urinal.
I just went to the
You see, and then
I washed my hands.
How about the sad thing of, like, they show how long people have worked here?
Yeah.
Don't you think when somebody gets into the 20s, don't you start to feel sorry for them? Like, 8 years, 10 years, okay, yeah. Good, you know, I can see that. But all of a sudden, it's like, thanks for his service for more than 27 years. You're like, oh, my God.
Well, the funny thing is, for 2 years running, when they have those announcements, I've been here so long, they've lost track of me. They don't even, my number is so high, they don't even mention me.
Let's see, Seattle area snow starts to transition over to rain. Boy, it was absolutely gorgeous. Yesterday. Man, it was pretty.
Yeah, yesterday afternoon, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
I don't think Mother Nature does anything better than I was listening it. I sort of listed it with a friend of mine.
Kenny Mike and Todd Show, first of all, to be
Hey, Kenny Mike and Todd Show.
They you were listening to that?
No, they will have their time. What are you doing? Trying to like that's some sort of subliminal thing to get those people to listen to that
no,
show?
No, it was me starting over the show, mess with the automation.
All right.
Uh-oh.
My fault.
Yeah.
I think of all the things that Mother Nature does, I put snow at the top as far as aesthetics.
Wow.
I'm going to get lightning next as long as it doesn't kill you.
Okay.
I think rainbows are overrated. I dropped them down to like 4 or 5.
Yeah, but what about sunsets and sunrises?
Okay, those but then which really way do you good. Go? You and I have argued often. Is it a sunrise or a sunset prettier?
Sunrise, sunset.
All right. Jacob's like, I wish I was celebrating my birthday somewhere else. Here's a bunch of random cuts.
Let me start
cuts.
The show over again.
Let's do it again. Here's a bunch of random cuts from people talking about the snow.
The compact snow and ice can change to flooding events. And then in Seattle, we have a history that after events like this, that we can have a number of slides. And so we're preparing the next emergency response to make sure that if there's unstable hillsides, we're looking for that, be able to respond to residents who may be living in those areas.
All right, there we go. Okay. Let's see. Reporting on how businesses are reacting to the snow.
Did you guys walk over?
Cairo 7.
Yes. How far?
At Woodblock Restaurant in Redmond. The snow has owner Tony Scott forced to adapt.
Okay, I don't feel like listening to any more of that. do you care about that? Businesses having
well,
to
no,
adapt?
I mean, it is interesting, the choice. I mean, each of us live in our own neighborhoods, and there are certain shops that are open and certain aren't, and that's how you determine that. And that guy was talking about that. Yeah, he's trying to balance the needs of his customers, who are neighborhood types, versus the needs of his employees who need to get home.
I ate at Levitate yesterday in Issaquah, and the owner was behind the bar.
Is that right?
So there were only three people in there. The owner was in there, the chef, and then like one server.
Yeah.
So I guess they all live close by that they were able to be there. But it was just pretty. Sit there and watch the snowfall. Como, Denise Whitaker, spoke with a Bonnie Lake tire store blowing ice. Oh, this is the fact that this thing made news. The guy has a flamethrower sort of thing, and he needed to get rid of the ice on his road. So
when there's no plow, good old-fashioned elbow grease gets it done. Employees at the Best Tire Center in Bonnie Lake showed up an hour early so they could clear the snow. And when the shovel exhausted itself, this came out.
You can't really scrape the ice too well, so you just melt it away.
There you go. Everybody happy.
That seems ingenious, and unless something gets out of control. Well, what does that mean? I like this. They described it as when the shovel got exhausted.
They must have broken it.
Yeah, I know.
That's what normally happens.
Or maybe it was the shoveler who was exhausted.
My brother called me yesterday. Said, it's big news back on the East Coast.
I know.
NBC News led with it. How bad are we hurting for news? Let's not talk about Fairfax or the governor in Virginia. Let's talk about the snow in Seattle. My brother calls up and goes, remember the time you and I shoveled all those driveways and you made the crucial mistake after we shoveled that old lady's driveway on Avalon Road? She said, well, what do I owe you? And I said, well, we normally leave that up to our customers. She goes, oh, good. She goes and gets $2. Dollar for me. And we've been out there for like an hour, Tom. So then my brother goes, hey, when she closes the door, we're putting the snow back on her steps. And we did. We put the snow back up on her steps.
You know, that's interesting because my daughters babysat in their younger years, and they always did that. They never said, I said, yeah, that makes me too nervous. I wouldn't know. But they always, there's so many generous people that it makes up for the people. And, you know, maybe she was on a fixed income and $2 was a lot to her.
No.
You guys should take that into account.
No.
You money grubbers.
I had a guy one time when I said, well, what's your budget for this? He goes, well, just charge me whatever you think is fair.
Yeah.
Well, that is scary.
Scary, yeah.
Yeah, because then you're like, well, what is fair?
Yeah, but that's a good philosophical question for you to grapple with.
I did.
So did you overcharge him?
No, I think I probably came in low. It worked for him. Let's see. How about the negotiation? They believe they're pretty close to the negotiating the deal, and they don't know if Trump is going to sign this thing because he still doesn't get the money he wants, right?
Yeah.
But they were able to push back and forth on how many beds could be available for criminals that are breaking into the country. Trump briefly responds to the report that Congress has a possible agreement. Let's see.
Just so you know, we're building the wall anyway. They say that progress has been made with this country. Just now, I said, wait a minute, I got to take care of my people from Texas. I got to go. I don't even want to hear about it.
There you go.
Why is he talking so funny
there? Sometimes he does that.
So, yeah, the issue now is it apparently the reports are $1.375 billion, which is nowhere near the $5.7 billion. But the expectation is that he's going to say he gave his Republican negotiator says, listen, get as much as you can. And then I'll, in effect, fill in the rest. So what may happen is that he may, short of, although that's still on the table, short of it declaring a national emergency where he just takes the money, he thinks that he can find pockets of money with the military, construction, and these kinds of things that he still think the plan is that he'll still try to go for it. But these negotiations overall did not break his way.
I think they give him they're going to give him 26 miles of immoral road. I think that's what it is. They wanted 700. What'd they give him?
They wanted hundreds. 55 miles of new bollard fencing. I'm going to have to look up bollard.
Okay.
They say that's just a fraction.
Is that moral?
Of
because
for.
I know walls are immoral, according to Nancy Pelosi. So
his wall was.
Okay, that's immoral. But bollard, what is this called again?
New bollard fencing. In fact,
right.
Why don't we look up bollard right now?
Well, what
now?
You'll see is you get it on Amazon, it'll say others that have bought this have also bought an immoral wall. Mitch McConnell says the deal is stinky.
It provides new funds for miles of new border barriers, and it completes all 7 outstanding appropriation bills so Congress can complete a funding process for all the outstanding parts of the federal government with predictability and with certainty.
All right.
A bollard is a sturdy, short, vertical post. Oh, that's a bollard. It's the kind of things you put so you don't have cars drive down pedestrian ways. That's funny.
But it must be.
What do you mean he said it was stinky?
In the Wall Street Journal, he had criticized the work that was being done by those. He says, now it'll come forward. It'll come out of the House. And then
this was beforehand.
Yeah, beforehand.
Okay.
Just how it was being put together. People like Sean Hannity not on board.
By the way, on this news.
By the way, Sean Hannity looks so bad.
What do you mean?
I hardly ever tune into him, and I looked at
him. He's like this perfectly groomed mannequin.
Nice.
I would think he'd like you.
I'm not a Sean Hannity fan.
By the way, on this new so-called compromise, I'm getting details. $1.3 billion? That's not even a wall, a barrier? I'm going to sell this tonight, and we will get back into this tomorrow. Any Republican that supports this garbage compromise, you will have to explain.
Yeah, okay, good.
So the president is, again, according to Senator Shelby from Alabama, a Republican.
Is he going to go for it?
No, he was on the negotiating committee. Yeah. He thinks that he's got the go-ahead from the White House to do this. So,
okay. If now, not, they run back into a shutdown. They have, I think, Saturday as some sort of deadline for something.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. It is known as the next door effect, and it apparently is in effect in Bellevue as well. So the idea is that if you go to, which Tom used to be a part of it, it's a online, you know, neighbors ratting out neighbors website.
Well, that's not how it's designed, but you're right. It's a hyper-local community. So, like, if I live in Ballard or Greenwood or Ballard, you can sign up for your nextdoor.com, and they say, hey, I'm having a bake sale, or I'm selling, anybody need a couch, or this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But what it quickly turned into, at least from my experience, was it was like, hey, there's somebody that doesn't look familiar walking down, 84th. I mean, keep your eye out, make sure that it felt like it was sort of creepy. It felt like a neighborhood watch that was like, anything that is outside the ordinary should be reported on. I've forgotten my password, so I don't even get into it now, but it struck me as a little kind of creepy, like it became too aggressively stranger danger kind of thing. And now we got the FYI guy talking about there's a next door effect. I thought it was something else. It literally is the nextdoor.com effect, because people end up reporting so much crime that when there are two people that have witnessed a crime and they report it, suddenly you feel like, oh my God, my neighborhood's not very safe.
Right.
Even though all the statistics say that it's safer than safe. Mm-hmm. And they say now Bellevue. So Seattle is less safe than Bellevue.
Okay.
By to the level of like six times as much property crime. But because,
and did they do that per 100,000? Did they break it down by crime by 100,000? They didn't just take it, because you have what? How many people in Seattle? 600,000? What do you get? 120,000, 130,000 in Bellevue?
You're six times more likely to be the victim of an aggravated assault in Seattle than in Bellevue. And the rates in robbery and burglary are twice as high. So this article wasn't about those stats.
Right.
But it was more about the fact that because of the next door effect, people in Bellevue are convinced that they're living in like Hell City too.
Yeah.
Because of, and it's like, yeah, when you report, it says there may be only two incidents in a 2 mile area. And because of that, and because there's now reporting, we normally wouldn't know it. It's a heightened sense of fear that mm-hmm. is not borne out by stats. And that's what his article is about.
Yeah. It also goes into this thing called the illusionary effect, which is, you will think something is true if there's two categories that sort of ping your brain. The first one is it in line with what you understand?
Mm.
And then the second one, and this one's really relevant, that it becomes familiar to you. Now, the way it becomes familiar is for you to have it repeated over and over and over again. So if it's somewhat in line, you go, well, plus or minus on the somewhat in line. But have I heard it before? Yes, I have heard it before. So it is familiar.
That clinches the
argument. And therefore familiar makes
it
truthful.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why propaganda is so good. That's why political campaigns over and over again keep saying the same thing. So you go, well, it must be true because I kept hearing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, anyway, the article does end up saying, however, Bellevue is growing, and these are typical growing pains, and eventually Bellevue, it may not be Seattle, but it's going to be more like a big city than not,
mm-hmm.
and with big cities come big city problems, and that transition could be something on the horizon, but right now it's just not there.
Well, if Bellevue stays, the rent stays high, the mortgages stay high, then you don't have as much crime because you don't have, although people will go to Bellevue to rob you, you don't have as much crime, a mile away from your house, right? But if you got property crime occurring because you've got people that are living in someplace under a bridge or whatever and coming and stealing from you. I got robbed in Bellevue. Broken into in Bellevue.
Okay, yeah, and I've heard that before, so that clinches it.
Right. That's for me. I've been a victim twice. Then I wrote on this little website thing in my neighborhood that my car had gotten broken into.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then people were, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. Blah, 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 would they take you? Yeah. And then someone else wrote, build that wall.
Right.
Like, okay. There
I've
you go.
Heard that before, too. That'll must be it. True.
By the way, this just came in from a listener who tries to say funnier things than the two of us, and I think they are succeeding in this one. Hey, when it comes to building the wall, I'm sure a Mexican construction company would build it for $1 billion. There you go. See?
Yeah, but does he know bollards?
You had to look it up.
I know.
Teachers' merit pay is a bad idea. People have been asking for this for a long time. Forbes does the piece, and right now, where are they? In Minnesota, they're on strike right now. They got a problem. They wanted to get merit pay put in place, and now they don't like it.
Denver.
It's in Denver.
Yeah.
What people were saying is, I'll tell you what, if you're good at your job, we'll pay you more. Then people said, well, how do we determine what good is? Are people going to sit in the classroom and evaluate you? Will we put cameras in there? We can't just simply have merit pay based upon the fact that the kids are doing better in tests, because then what you'll do is you'll teach to the test, which is what they do now. But they don't reward people that do better. You get more money if you stay in the school district longer. So what you get is old teachers that don't care as much making more money, younger teachers that come along that might be more experienced, more motivated, they are normally the first to be fired because the unions protect the old dinosaurs.
It's not about the unions, John. The problem is there's no agreed-upon system to judge a successful or non-successful teacher.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting about Denver, because and Florida's doing the same kind of thing, they're trying to figure out a way to help teachers, to give them more money, and so they've set up these experiments, and they said each of those experiments tends to backfire. One is, you end up, in order to pay for it, you end up lowering the base pay of the average teacher.
Right.
And the problem with that is that that impacts their mortgage and loans and all these kinds of things that it doesn't help out in the end. And then, in particular, in Denver, what they tried to do is they said, okay, we're going to pay you more if you make, if you work in hard to staff schools,
right,
which I, you know, I mean, we can all assume, guess whatever those are, they don't identify that, but it didn't work. Teachers fell to the mercies of forces outside their control. For instance, one batch of teachers lost their incentive pay for teaching in a high poverty neighborhood when new luxury townhomes were built nearby, and a one-time pay incentive does not outweigh a bad boss or building culture and all that. So anyway, this article goes through some of the problems, you know,
determining what merit pay should be based
on. Yeah, it doesn't raise test scores. It doesn't improve teacher attraction. It doesn't improve morale. You can get better results, they say, by raising the base wages than you can individual or decreasing class sizes.
I think cameras in the classroom, and then you have evaluators watch the teacher, see how the teacher does. You take sampling, random samples of it, and you sit there and you evaluate. Are the kids paying attention? Does the teacher seem motivated? Or is the teacher just sit there at the desk, put a feet up on the desk, and play a video for all the kids to watch?
Yeah, but the problem is, John, that's all that is anecdotal stuff, and is the kind of stuff that parents pass on to others or kids talk about. But and actually judging, maybe the guy who plays the video is good in the class, and that video is something that stimulates it or whatever.
You're right.
No, I mean, my one of my favorite teachers of all time at Blanchett taught religion.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Mike Matriotti, and what did he do? At the end, every Friday, he read us a short story.
Oh.
Now, it was the best class ever. And the class, he often read like a Flannery O'Connor short story, and it would often work into the themes that we had talked about during the week. That's fantastic. But if you just took a shot of that class, go, well, that's nothing. He's just reading a short story.
No, I said it randomly. You choose a bunch of different ones. I didn't just say just the one.
I know, but I mean,
but there's a big difference between a teacher sitting there reading something from a book and a teacher turning the lights down and turning on a video. Well, I am shocked at the number of movies and videos
that my kids watch at Eastlake. That's an insult to movies. Cinema is a legitimate art, just like a short story is, and it might get kids talking. If you're teaching history and then you show a historical movie like Saving Private Ryan or something like that, that would generate kids' interest. I mean, what I'm just saying is there are a lot of ways to be a good teacher, an effective teacher, and it also depends on the day and it depends on the students.
We almost made it through all of the stories that Jacob put together for us, except for the best one.
It's what I'm getting him for his birthday.
One of these things? You got to be embarrassed by that. All right, well, find a place to put that, would you?
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. No, not the story, the thing that Tom's
Oh, sorry. Literally, where in my bedroom will I place it?
Yes. Plus, also, Kamala Harris to prove that she's hip and cool.
Kamala.
Kamala?
Kamala, yeah.
Yeah, next president. She says, yeah, I smoked weed and I inhaled. And then, unfortunately, she lied about when she did it. We'll be right back.
What?
Yeah.
A lie?
Well, not a lie.
Oh, that's better. Yeah.
Nice thinking, man. Like, maybe I should have grabbed somebody by their collar.
All right, there we go. Laura's Home Loans. 833-ASK-LAURA, 833-ASK-LAURA. No one does a better job with your mortgage. Get any sort of questions about maybe getting a second? Perhaps you want to get a reverse mortgage. It's Laura's Home Loans. Laura Keel, 833-ASK-LAURA. We got to come up with, hey, Texas on the Online Trading Academy text line at 98973. We do love to hear from you. Email's back up again. Is that working?
Not quite. Still working on it.
Is it because of the flooding problem we have? Because
something like that.
Okay.
It's heavy, heavy snow. It really impacts the email.
Do we have a 10 o'clock sponsor? Andrew?
We do not.
Okay. Then we're going to allow a listener to send in something and I'll read it.
Okay. By email. Good luck.
Or text 98973. Kamala? Am I saying it wrong? Harris?
Yes.
Am I?
Yeah.
How do you say it right?
Kamala.
Kamala.
Think of like Pamela, but then change it to A. Kamala.
Okay.
Kamala.
Got it. She's Miss Harris running for president. She's from California. And she goes on the Breakfast Club because that you do. You got to go on the Breakfast Club. And they're asking her, I think the Breakfast Club is the same place where Hillary talked about that she always carries hot sauce with her, right? Remember that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know which show it is. It's in New York City.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So here she is.
Also, and I know the answer to this, too. They say you oppose legalizing weed.
That's not true.
I know.
And look, I joke about it, half joking. Half my family's from Jamaica. Are you kidding me?
They'd be so mad at you. Have you ever smoked?
I have.
Okay.
I inhale. I did inhale. It was a long time ago. But yeah.
I know you have to go. They say you have to go. I just
broke loose.
I mean, was it in college? See, I like stuff like that. That's a real honest answer. Was it a blunt or joint?
It was a joint.
Hey.
Yeah.
You remember the high?
I do.
So if it was legalized all throughout the country and medicinal, would you, you know, do it?
Listen, again? I think that it gives a lot of people joy, and we need more joy.
We need more joy in this world.
And then they asked her, so when you're getting high, what were you listening to? She's, oh, Snoop. I was listening to Snoop. So it's like, okay. It's like, no, you weren't, because Snoop didn't cut an album until the 90s. You smoked in the 80s. So obviously the high was pretty good. So
wow.
Anyway.
So for the much more interesting, I think, about this case.
Why? What is interesting about her?
She was against it. She was a prosecutor.
Yeah.
And in 2010, she was against legalization.
Yeah.
In 2015, the Republican who ran against her actually said he was in favor of it, and she still said that she wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, California, they've had medical marijuana available, and so there may not have been that pressing concern, because a lot of people said it was very easy to get mm-hmm. medical marijuana, but it wasn't until, like, 2018 where she finally came around, much like the rest of the country, where it certainly became yes. Now at this point, she says she, like a lot of people, have signed on for this idea that now we should go, there are enough states now that make it legal, we might as well just make it legal federally across the board. So for somebody who is all, you know, jokey and laughy, to suggest that she's kind of a pothead is the opposite. She's come around very slowly to this position.
Let's see, the Oregon has now more legal cannabis than the state can consume in 6 years. So come on, Oregon, get on it. They, I guess they sent out so many, they allowed so many permits, and so much of the business just boomed that they've just made more than anybody could possibly get through as far as the general consumption of marijuana.
Yes. The thrust of this article, though, they say, is this actually is good news, because that means that they've created all of this marijuana, and it's still in stock. The big concern was that it was all going to leach out into the black market, and that clearly hasn't happened, since they have so much overstock at this point. However, the article then suggests at the end, now they do have to be careful, because if they continue to allow for more and more processing and more is made, eventually that might end up impacting the black market. But at least in terms of Oregon's numbers, that hasn't yet. So which means they have a good handle on things.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take care of this thing that we're going to get Jacob for his birthday. A Kickstarter page has come up. It's called Love Sync. Will this explain it?
Love Sync is a device that lets you know when both of you are in the mood for some hippity-dippity.
It's super simple. All you have to do is place a button at each of your bedsides, and when you're feeling a little randy, you just anonymously push the button. There's no risk of rejection. If only one of you pushes the button, nothing happens, and your partner's none the wiser.
Oh, so you can't actually hear the button go off?
Well, the thing is, first off, anonymously, I take it you're already in bed with this person. They've got their bedstead.
Yeah.
And when you push it, it's not anonymous. It's not like, oh, you're pushing a button for somebody you've never met or don't know. It's for your own partner. This is so ridiculous. It's like a parody.
Well, no, it's not. It's so anonymous, so, meaning like they don't know what's happening. She just chose the incorrect word. So you reach over, and the other person's sitting there reading, or maybe they're on Facebook or something, and you just reach over and you quietly push the button.
Oh my God.
And then if the other person doesn't respond, right, and yells out,
wrong!
No, there is no sound.
And that somehow makes it, you're let down easier. You're 6 inches from the person you want to have sex with. Yeah. Hey, and then you have to nudge her. Hey, did you see that button? I pushed your button.
I think you need to turn it off and turn it back on again.
Yeah.
Pressing the button multiple times sets a longer time period that you'd be down for bopping squiddles.
Rumpus hump.
Okay, that's unnecessary.
Oh, my God. Starts out with hippity-dippity.
Right.
Hack in the sack.
two-person push-ups?
It's amazing for those times where you wouldn't mind being surprised in the middle of the night.
Which I avoided in the past, fear of waking the beast.
We surveyed couples across the globe, and over 50% said they would initiate more often if they knew they wouldn't be rejected by their partner. LoveSync is perfect for partners because it alleviates sexual frustration.
Now you'll always know when you and your significant other are ready for sexy time.
There you go. Okay.
That makes sense.
Seems legit.
Well, how does it work in your relationships?
I haven't done that. But then I looked up this story about this woman.
How do you avoid rejection? You punch the button and it's not reciprocated. You know that's a rejection.
No. You just...
Yeah, that's what they said.
Well, it's a quiet rejection. Well, you can roll over and
still
bury
it.
Your face into your pillow, quietly crying.
I know.
No, rather than having it happen right to your face... You roll over and you're like, hey, hi, whoa, let me give you a back rub. No strings attached, right? And the person's like, yeah, I'm really tired. I got a headache.
And somehow
and
that's
rejection.
Harder. Yes.
You reach over, you pat the button. It's like, ugh. And, you know, normally you'd be asleep before the button rings anyway. So I looked up this story about this woman who decided that she would have sex with her husband every single day. So for 365 days, she did it. She says it didn't divorce-proof my relationship. I don't know if she got divorced. She said, but what it did is it gave me confidence. This was interesting. She said when she used to have sex with her husband once or twice a month, she, because she had had three kids and she sort of let herself go and she wasn't able to work out as much as she did, didn't necessarily watch her diet as she said she should have. So she would often have sex in the dark, embarrassed by her body, right? Then she would run to the closet or run to the bathroom without him seeing it. She said, but when I decided to have sex with him every single day, I actually got more confidence and I didn't care necessarily. I didn't rush to hide myself and I was more comfortable in my nakedness. So
yeah.
See that?
There have been stories about people that do that. And it's, the idea is that you force yourself, even when you're not in the mood, you force yourself and you end up thinking more often than not that it was worth it.
Yeah, we did that story before because no one wants to hear two old guys talking about sex like the listeners of Tom and Curly.
If only we had two buttons we could push instead.
Are you really going to get that for Jacob?
I don't know. It's $44.
All right. He leans over. Hi. Hey. You want to kind of...
Wrong!
All right.
Right back.
All righty. Let's see. Flying by today. How are you feeling? You were low energy yesterday, Tom.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling great.
Good. I said, I was talking to a friend who listens to the show all the time, and I said, Tom is low energy today, and I was worried about him. And then they asked how old you are, and then they asked about your health. I said, I could see Tom dying. Seriously, you're 63.
No, I'm 64.
Oh.
But
all of a sudden I was like, oh, no. Who are they going to get in here?
So there's no, the thing is, I do, as long as you brought this up, John,
yes, John,
because of my leg, it suddenly made my mortality much more real to me.
Ooh.
Because now I feel like when I injured my leg, I realized, yeah, this is what it's like to get older. You're kind of limping around. It's hard to get out of a chair and all this. And that's why I'm taking my physical therapy so seriously. But it's like, yeah, this is the first sign. In 64 years, I've really been healthy. I've never had surgery and all that. And now I'm facing my own mortality.
Don't die yet. We got two more years on this contract? Hang in there. There's a Fox guy, a Fox News guy who loves attention. So he says,
as I told you, my 2019 resolution is to say things on air that I say off air. I don't think I've washed my hands for 10 years. Really, I don't really wash my
Someone
hands ever.
Help me!
No, I inoculate myself. It's not germs are not a real thing. I can't see them, therefore they're not real.
So you're becoming immune to all the
exactly.
Bacteria.
I can't get sick.
Okay,
and he can make everybody else sick.
Really, he doesn't wash his hands.
I know this strikes me as he's stealing a page out of the John Curley playbook.
Right, for New Year's resolutions.
You say, yeah. First off, he brings up New Year's resolutions that are wacky, and then he says wacky things, and everyone laughs. And then he say he doesn't really mean that. And then everyone says, well, no, he's a Fox News host. Of course, he doesn't mean what he says.
Yeah, I had to go one time. We were doing a story for EV Magazine, and it was go to this clinic. And they analyze your skin for you, and they have this new machine. It's so dumb. I don't know why we went there. Maybe they paid for us to be there. And it it sees the bacteria on your skin, on your face, and then they determine, you know, what type of lotions and potions and stuff you should put on your face.
Sure.
Well, I used to, we didn't have any make, I didn't have a makeup person.
That's a good word.
You know, a makeup person at King TV Evening Magazine. I had this little compact I had found in the men's, I think it was left over from Almost Live from the 80s. And when you used to open up, it smelled like the little pad. So it sort of smelled like somebody's skin and sort of moldy and stuff. But I put it on anyway because you get a shiny forehead and Dara's like, your shirt, do you have any makeup? I'd pull it out, make this compact and do this, right? Put it all over my face. So this is the normal routine every day in the van. So we go to this place and I'm supposed to get my face analyzed for bacteria.
Oh my God.
And they take the picture and the woman goes, so we'll have the results in about 30 seconds. And she'd show me what a clean face was and then those that are shoveled. It was so bad, and she had a microphone on, so I didn't hear because I was stepping behind Daryl, but the microphone was on, so Daryl got her saying, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And the woman goes, what? Look. Oh, my God. I know. Do it again. So they did it again. Because, Daryl, we got back in there. Daryl goes, I don't know what that makeup is that you're putting on your face, but they wouldn't. The lady never showed it to me.
Like leprosy or something.
Yeah, awful. All these green spotches everywhere. I said, hey, I need a new compact. So this guy says he doesn't wash his hands. And I noticed when I was on that cruise, that horrible cruise thing, that I got mad at people that didn't wash their hands.
Yeah.
Like you'd walk past a little Chinese lady, and she'd go, washy-washy, and then you have to wash your hands and stuff. People, all these angry Russians, no! I'm like, come on. You wash your hands. And then you go over there and you touch the tongs to get your roll.
I know. Well, that's the problem about cruises. They have all these noroviruses you got to worry
trapped
about. So
there.
You got to make sure that you wash your hands.
Yeah, it's like a giant bouillabaisse of disease. All right. In fact, I think that's how they advertise it.
Bouillabaisse. It's French.
Hey, are we taking an early break? Is that what we're going to do? Because we're going to take a news update?
Right.
Okay, fine. And then we'll come back. Lots of stuff to talk about. Don't forget to write to us. We still have people that want their... We have different ads that I'm supposed to do at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Text to Online Trading Academy 98973. Because I don't know where Bucky's Auto Service Centers is, but we need someone to promote the 10 o'clock just to fill in that.
So, that's right.
A little something special for you. Plus, good to...
So when are we doing the update?
I guess like right now.
Yeah. Okay.
When the music ends.
When the music ends.
Okay.
Don't be asking those
questions. I thought it was on CBS time, and apparently it isn't.
Don't worry about it.